Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power!
Good afternoon, Phoenix! What up? Welcome to the Power Hour, guys and gals. This is the Mac Daddy, Mac Newton, host of the Power Hour, coming at you on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in fabulous downtown Phoenix, Arizona. I hope it's as beautiful wherever you are. It is now 2 minutes past the hour of five. Temperature outside is somewhere around 60 degrees. It's a little chilly outside for Phoenix, Arizona. If you don't like the weather here, wait a month. It'll change. Okay. Oh, my gosh. If we got a show on tap for you guys today, but we want to welcome back to the Power Hour, making his re-debut, the fabulous Zach Geist. Welcome aboard, Zach. Good to have you, man.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
That's exactly right. It's great to have you back, you know. But you know what? You know, back in her customary seat, which was occupied by Zach last week, is the fabulous Natasha. Welcome back. You're very welcome. Yes, listen to that round of applause for you. Everybody missed you, darling. Everybody missed you. Oh, welcome back. Well, listen, if this is your first time tuning in to the Power Hour, like it was for one emailer this week who said the show was fabulous, but he was a little upset with how we dissed the weather up north. We'll get back to that in a minute. If this is your first time on listening to the Power Hour, make sure your seatbelt is firmly attached, that your tray and tray tables are in their upright position, and you are ready for takeoff, because you're in it for a pretty, pretty rocky trip. It's going to be amazing. We're listening to the fabulous George Benson, who is our musical guest host in the Power Hour today. Not only is George a personal friend and one of my favorite musicians of all time, he's also one of the favorites of Zach, and this is sort of a welcome back to the house. Zach, it's so good to see you again, man. It really is. But you know what? If you go to, I think it's called starpulse.com, you'll get a bio for George Benson, which is simply one of the best written and most inclusive of all bios I have ever read on a performer. I mean, it is fabulous, and it gives all of the key points of George Benson's career. Let me sum it up for you. Simply put, George Benson is one of the greatest guitarists in the history of jazz. I mean, but he's amazing to spend time with on a personal level. His memory is amazing, and he just loves talking about some of the people he's played with. I mean, Stevie Wonder, Donny Hathaway. I mean, he's played with Miles Davis and Wes Montgomery. And he started out with Brother Jack McDuff when he was a teenager. Back in 1962 or so. And he loves talking about all of those times. I mean, his voice is just amazing. But I mean, his inspiration to play jazz guitar originally came from Charlie Christian, who, by the way, was one of the first guitarists to actually play guitar amplified in a band. Charlie Christian. I think he did that with the Benny Goodman Orchestra, possibly. If I'm wrong on it, someone let me know. And of course, the fabulous Wes Montgomery. Now, you know what? George can do dead on impersonations of both of those performers. But George's style is strictly his own. I mean, his style, and everyone tries to do their own George Benson, including myself. And but no one can play like George, because he plays so brilliantly. He's such an innovator. I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, as a lead guitarist, he's just unparalleled. But he's also a very, very good accompanist. I mean, he, as they say in the business, he comps well. I mean, from everybody from Kenny G, working with Chaka Khan, but he becomes absolutely dangerous when he starts swinging. When he starts swinging in sort of a jazzy soul format, he gets dangerous when he's playing. I mean, you just cannot keep up with the man. Amazing. So, I mean, his voice style, I don't know who you compare it to. Some people have compared it to maybe Stevie Wonder, but his range is just amazing, and his pitch is perfect. And, well, obviously you can see that I think he's just too talented. But anyway, back to the show. We've got a fabulous show on tap for you today. As we finished up last, we said we finished up last week, we are going to finish with the 15 steps on how to get from the old you to the new you. We are going to also review quickly the Dirty Dozen and review the 10 steps to permanent change, and off and go to the page on guilt, where we can show you effective ways in which to move away from that guilty personality if it's been holding you back. And if we have a little time on the end of it, we can let you know what's coming in next week and get started into goal setting. So we've got a fabulous show this week, and we've got lots of stuff on tap for you for the future. I want to start off today because, you know, it's one of the things that sort of sticks under my craw sometimes is when I see people criticizing other people who are trying to make things happen, when people are trying to step out of the norm and do things that are different than anyone else in the world possibly. It seems that the best thing that anyone else can do is to criticize. So I want to share something with you that has been a source of inspiration, irritation for me for quite some time. Critics. People who seem to have nothing to offer but their critical opinion. But before I get to my point, let me share with you also a quote from our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. And this was taken from a speech that he delivered in Paris, France, in 1910. He says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the person who points out how the strong man tumbles or stumbled, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the person who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best no achievement, and who at the worst, if they fail, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." I've always been stirred by that, but I'm also amazed by the tendency of some people who want to criticize others who are making those valiant efforts to improve their lives, and at the same time, the lives of others, the ones who are in the arena, taking chances, making investments of their time, their energy, and their money. But it seems at every turn they're being criticized by those sitting on the sidelines just watching, doing nothing and risking nothing. One of the unfortunate consequences of facing constant criticism is that people sometimes allow the criticisms to slowly begin to shape their lives. I mean, I don't think people are doing this consciously, but over time, is they just seem to begin to absorb it into themselves. Now, I've noticed something about myself over the years. The older I get, the less attention I pay to what other people think and say, especially about me. I've reached a point where I couldn't care less about what people say about me. I notice what they do, how they live, but I pay very little attention to what they say. Some folks believe that the words that people say tells you who they are, not me. I live by the great grandma rule and always will. And that rule was, what you're doing is making so much noise, I can't hear a word you're saying. I think life validates words, not the other way around. Words are empty until battle-tested. I mean in the world of experience. And I have little or no use at all for those who withdraw from the world and yet are going to attempt to issue instructions to others on how to live in it. Simply put, if you don't play the game, you don't know enough to make the rules. Now, those may be strong words. I think they are, but I feel very strongly about them. The critic, however, has the right to say whatever they want to say, but not at the expense of the dreams and visions that people have for accomplishment. I think that even those so-called well-intended criticisms are couched in nothing more than petty jealousy and feelings of insecurity. The message is clear. How dare you think you can move out? How dare you think you can move ahead? How dare you? I say, let them say whatever they want to say, but don't take it to heart. Here's the way I deal with criticism. Unless the person knows me well, and I respect that person's opinion, it's completely meaningless to me. I take it the same way I take their praise. If they don't know me, it's meaningless. My driving force remains to be my dreams, my vision for the future, and the opinions of those who are close to me and care about me. I'm reminded of a poem that has actually saved my life several times. It's simply entitled Boldness. It goes like this. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creativity, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then all of providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that never would otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issue from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and even material assistance, which no person could have dreamt would have come their way. And so, I also have learned a deep respect for one of Goethe's couplets. It goes like this. Whatever you can do or dream, you can. Begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. What it's done is removed me from the influence of the critics. And it's put me, as great-grandma used to say, on the side of the angels. Maybe it will work the same for you. In exactly the same manner. Imagine this, gang. You have a large bucket of crabs. One day, one of the crabs decide to make a leap for the lip of the bucket in an effort to escape. What is he now? I'll tell you, he's a traitor. He's decided to leave the others behind and get out. There's no greater offense to those left behind in the bucket. And so it is with us. So many of us have these little unspoken agreements with family members or friends or spouses that we'll all just lay here where we are, being underweight, underemployed, underachieved, or whatever. Well, when one decides to open their own business or lose the weight, set goals, get healthy, or write a book, then the critics cut loose. They come out of the woodwork. Are you crazy? What are you thinking? You'll fail. You'll waste your money. Blah, blah, blah. You've become a traitor to the cause. They say you've changed. They don't even know who you are anymore. There is little question that today's conventional wisdom is different than in the day of Teddy Roosevelt. No question. Today, the way to get along is to go along, and that's how most people handle it, you know. Political correctness and all that. However, at this point, I'm not so sure that the values of my generation and even an earlier age at the time of Teddy Roosevelt just may have been the right stance to take, if you know what I mean. And to the critics who respond that they have all this knowledge and understanding of how they think that things should work, I say to you, Knowledge and understanding is not enough. One must also do. To gain from the world and not give back is one of the great tragedies of life. And great grandma would say, shame on you. And she would go on to say, don't tell me what to do if you ain't doing nothing. And I echo what great grandma says, and she was always right. Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton, and you are tuned into the Power Hour, and we meet every Thursday here at MacNewton.com. Tell your friends, do me a favor, write down the name of someone you can tell about this show so that they too can challenge themselves. They can challenge their limits and make the world a better place. That's exactly what's going to happen. You can't make the world a better place without making everyone's life in it better at the same time. I believe it. It's the way the world works. Like I said, 15 minutes past the hour. I hope where you are, it's as beautiful as it is here. Got a great show on tap for you today. As always, after our monologue, we love to give some shout-outs, and we will do that today. We're going to add a new member of our shout-out list. How about John Booker up there in frozen Chicago, Illinois? Yes, welcome to the shout-outs, John. Yeah. Uh-huh. Retired. Have no idea why anyone would retire, but you did. And you're still there in the cold. I have one word for you. Why? Why? Why are you there? Can't you, can you not look up? You'll see an airplane. Those things are leaving town. You know, other things, smoke coming out of them, trains, buses, cars. Get on one and get out of town, John. I guess all that snow they had melted, and then it got cold again, and it all froze back up. Don't you love it? The town is just frozen over. Oh my goodness. Shout outs to Ray from Southern California. I guess, Ray, they just didn't appreciate you as much as they did Natasha. Natasha got a much bigger head. Mark and Kim right here in Phoenix, and Nick up in Denver. Now, see, Nick started 27 years ago with me. A couple of weeks ago, 27 years he's been training with me on a regular basis. And of course, some of our most dedicated Power Hour devotees, Peter and Bev, right here in the valley. And of course, Dottie. A big hand for them, folks. Yes, there we go. All of our shout outs. And let us not forget Al in Southern Florida. Southern Florida. What do they say? They say, South FLA or something like that. I don't know how the cool hip people do that. Do you know how they do that, Zach? Do you know? Huh? Do you know how they say that?
I'm gonna stay out of this one for right now.
Really, you don't know? I don't know.
Back on the MTV.
Yeah, I thought you would know that. You'd be on the MTV. I don't.
Miami.
Anyway, yeah, Southern. Yeah. Okay. All right, gang. All right, here we go. We are really just absolutely making a lot of progress. And by the way, thanks for all the emails. I got one that just said, the show was off the hook. That's all it says. Show was off the hook. Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad you like this show. Glad you like it. We do our best to make it something that you can use to make your life more meaningful for yourself and those around you. We are going to finish the last 13, 14, and 15 on the 15 steps from the old you to the new you. We're going to do that today. And a quick review over the 10 steps to permanent change, to how to learn to like yourself more, how to let your life demonstrate that you see yourself as a valuable, healthy person. Okay, now let me just kind of do something that I rarely do, but since we're going to kind of finish this thing up today, let me just start at the beginning and run down all of these from number one. Okay, we're gonna go from number one all the way up to where we are right now to number 13. Okay, all right. Now, the 15 steps from the old you to the new you. What we're really talking about here is how to change. Is how to create permanent change. A real quick story. I remember coming back from Caracas, Venezuela once, and I had just won a championship, and I'd flown on the plane all the way back to Chicago. I was living in Chicago at the time with this huge trophy in my hand. And people on the airplane are asking me all about it, and I'm telling them about my Taekwondo career, and people are, and I mean, some of the people are actually asking me for my autograph on the plane, and they're just, I mean, just really being nice to me, just showing me all sorts of love. And then, of course, having been in our Caracas, Venezuela, where Taekwondo is very, very big, had been on television, and people were asking me for my autograph and all of that sort of stuff. It was just so cool. And so the first thing I did when I got out of the cab in front of my house, I the first thing I did was walk over to the dumpster and take that trophy and just threw it inside of the dumpster. Now you might ask yourself, why did you do that? What was the point? It was simple. It was easy. I felt like a fraud because there was no one waiting for me inside of the house. There was no friends. There were no telephone messages. There was no one there. I was alone. I wasn't even sure the electricity was on. My finances were in such ruin. How could I not feel like a fraud? How could someone have so much going for them that you do so well in one thing and so poorly in all the other areas of your life that really matter? And that's what this is all about. These 15 steps from the old you to the new you. That's what it is. From the old you to the new you. So that's what we're trying to do today. Bring you up to date. Okay? All right. Number one, what we want to do is, did you have these notes from before, Natasha?
But I'll write it down one more time. You know, I'm kind of disorganized.
So what we want to do is we want to reframe, we want to rework our personal rules for success. Number one, rework your personal rules for success. We want to change how you think. Change how you think. Rework your personal rules for success. Number two, we want to quit trying harder. Instead of just trying harder all the time. Okay? So number one, we want to reframe our thinking. Number two, quit trying harder. Number three, ignore conventional approaches. Number four, think beyond what common sense would allow. Number five, suspend disbelief. Number six, focus on the ends rather than the means. And number seven, rely on unseen forces. Now those are the titles of each step on the first seven steps of the 15 of moving from the old you to the new you. Along the way, we're talking about the possibility of making these steps in exponential order. Rather than sequential order, we're going to do it in an exponential form. In other words, we're going to skip steps. We're going to move fast in the process. Now, if you want to know all the details behind each one, every one of these steps, then log on to MacNewton.com. Log on, become a member, and go back into our archive shows and just bring yourself right up to date. Number eight, choose a different set of risks. Number nine, trust in the power of pursuit. And number 10, seek failure. Number 11, get uncomfortable. Or sometimes I like to say, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And bringing us right up to date, number 12, open your gifts. We finished with that last week. Open your gifts. You know, the people that we call gifted are different from the rest of the crowd in one really special way. They accept and they open their gifts. They let it happen. I mean, these are high achievers. I mean, these are people that we admire. And these are individuals who've recognized and had the courage to open their gifts. They're winners. And these winners have more gifts because they've claimed them. They took them out of the wrapping and they've used them. And now it's time for you to do the same. It's time for you to claim your gifts. It's time for you to open your gifts. It's time for you to reach for them. It's time for you to use them. And they grow the more you do to serve you better all the time. Now, if you look at the particular things you do well, you know, the skills that you've developed over the years, the talents that you've shown, you'll find that these are the talents that you've opened and enjoyed. But how many more do you have? How many more are there within your reach? For every gift that you've opened over the years, there may be dozens that you've never unwrapped. There may be dozens that you've never opened. Just wait, but they're there, just waiting to play a role in your life. So, open your gifts. Open your gifts. Okay? Break out of your cocoon that you've been living in. Break out of your cocoon of safety. Open your gifts. Spread your wings and fly. Okay. Number 13. Make your move before you're ready. Make your move. I'm sorry, that was number 13. We started with number 13. That was there, wasn't it? Zach, didn't I say that? Number 13? I think it was. That was number 13. It was. Number 13 was open your gifts. Open your gifts. Number 14 is make your move before you're ready. Make your move before you're ready. Here's the deal. Some people get bogged down just getting ready to make a move. They're going to do it. I mean, whatever else you need will come to you once you get started. It doesn't even matter. Make your move before you're ready. That's the title. That's it in a nutshell. A person can make a career out of laying groundwork, for goodness sakes. If they're trying to do something big, they're trying to make something happen, you can make a career out of just getting ready. Please understand this. You don't prepare for a quantum leap. You allow it. You just allow it to happen. You make the quantum leap, and then you fine-tune it as you go. You go for it instead of forever getting ready to do it. I mean, when I ever hear some people say, well, I'm getting ready for this. I'm getting ready. You know what they're telling me? They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. I mean, zero defects is a hostile concept in moving from the old you to the new you. You can't wait till you have all the defects eliminated. Go for it. Instead of forever getting ready so that you can make sure you get it right, you're not going to get it right. Just get started. First you act, and then you frame out your details of the strategy as you go. Move on it. Start the three things it takes to make a quantum leap. Aiming point, get started, and then let what happens happen. And let what is going to happen help you develop your game plan. Mobility is the crucial element. You got to get moving. Get moving. Don't be working on it. Get moving. Mobility is the deal. If you're going to worry about strategy formulation, it's going to occur naturally out of the discovery process that you'll be in as you're moving. You know what you're going to find out, gang? You're going to find out that once you're underway, that you know more than you thought you knew. You know more about. Just trust your instincts. Trust your gut instincts. Once again, a quantum leap is something you are already prepared to do. This is not a wild-eyed scheme, okay? It doesn't take a fantastic stroke of luck, you know? A quantum leap is a move that's yours for the taking right now. Right now. It represents a giant step that you can make merely by deciding to and opening yourself up to the resources that are presently available to serve you right now. Getting ready, quite frankly, okay, let me just tell you what it is. It's a stalling tactic. It is a stalling tactic, it's a con game. It's a con game that you're working on yourself. You are already in position to escape to a higher plane of performance. If you wait until you can get it perfect, you probably will never get it at all. Number 14, make your move before you're ready, gang. The time to start is right now. Moving from the old you to the new you can only happen once you're underway. You guys stay exactly where you are. My name is Mac Newton, and you're listening to the Power Hour. We will be right back with you right after these messages with more Power Hour and George Benson.
The Power Hour is brought to you by Quail Plumbing, a full-service plumbing contractor serving the Valley for over 18 years. And Widmeyer Chiropractic, a fixture on Camelback Road for over 15 years.
Hey, gang. This is the Mac Daddy coming at you one more time. You know, as I said to you last week, a lot of people are surprised to hear I still do Taekwondo 5 days a week. Yeah. But you know what? Why shouldn't I? I'm only 63. So with that being said, I love still doing Taekwondo. But having been at this game of Taekwondo for quite some time, my body sometimes shows the effects of it. And that's when I call Randy. I call Dr. Randy Widmeyer over at Widmeyer Chiropractic. And he works his magic. No, I'm not talking about that old, you know, what they call that circle jerk thing. They just kind of, you know, twist you and jerk you and pop you and twist you. They don't do that anymore. No, 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 not at Randall Widmeyer. They have a technique called the, it's a little device where it simply, it just almost gives a little pop. It just gently moves your bones and gently repositions you to where you just feel better. You know, you don't feel your bones popping and crunching, you know, and that's the thing that I love most about it. I come away from there feeling great. Feeling great. Now, for me, it's all about just, you know, getting the kinks out after doing Taekwondo. For some people, it might be you need some serious help after an automobile accident. For others, maybe it's because you've been hiking and your muscles are starting to contract and have pulled you out of alignment. Whatever your story, Randall Widmeyer is the guy for you. Go see what this technique is all about. Everyone's talking about it. Go find out for yourself. When you go to see Randall, tell him you heard it on the Power Hour. Tell him Mac Newton sent you. Years ago, I had the extreme good fortune of listening to a man by the name of W. Clement Stone. This man had wisdom. He was a sage. He was willing to share what he knew. He had experienced many, many things in life. He'd built a business, raised a family, and now he was sharing it with others. I was lucky enough to hear him speak several times before he passed away. And now that knowledge lives in me. And like so many others before me, I want to share it with you. I want to share it in the hope of that sharing will make my life at the same time better. What are these secrets that were shared with me with people like W. Clement Stone and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Brian Tracy? We'll find out. Go to MacNewton.com, www.MacNewton.com. And from what I hear on the emails, more and more of you are going there every single week. Tell your friends. Because every time you tell someone and their life gets better, yours will be made better at the same time to exactly the same degree. Yep, that's the place where winners go. www.MacNewton.com. It's a place that's always under construction. It'll never be finished. Winners are at work there right now, contributing to your successful future. Why wait? Act now. www.MacNewton.com.
Mac Newton Power Hour is brought to you by Quail Plumbing. Quail Plumbing is an Arizona-owned and operated full-service plumbing company founded in 1991. They are licensed with the Arizona Registrar of Contractors and bonded and insured, members of the Better Business Bureau, National Federation of Independent Business, and the Plumbing and Heating Cooling Contractors Association. They offer 24-hour service for all types of commercial and residential plumbing needs in the Phoenix metro area, including Scottsdale, Paradise Valley, Phoenix, Cave Creek, Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. Quail is proud to provide a multitude of services, everything from water heater repair, drain cleaning, leaky faucet repair, shower repair, to water softeners, and even leak detection services. Quail's extensive new construction department specializes in commercial ground-up, commercial tenant improvements, and custom residential homes. They can do small to very large and complicated piping projects. Whether you're a homeowner, general contractor, commercial business, property manager, or realtor, they are here to serve you. For more information, you can contact them online at quailplumbing.com or reach them by phone at 623-780-2233. That's 623-780-2233. Quail Plumbing, when it's worth doing right.
Gang, have you ever heard of true joy? This is the true joy in life. I mean, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. The being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. For one, I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live it, it is my privilege to do it whenever, whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Because life is no brief candle for me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment. And I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it off to future generations. So it is with me, and so it was written by George Bernard Shaw. Hey gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. I told you we had a great show on tap for you guys today. I told you. We don't ever let you down. A little bit more George Benson, Living Inside Your Love. Interesting thing about this song, if you have this, put it on your turntable. Whoop, I guess I just dated myself again, didn't I?
Back, you know, I've seen one in magazine for like 50,000.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're platinum.
I still got mine. I still got well over 500 LPs. In fact, I remember one day, George and I sat down on the floor in my garage and just went through all of my LPs. It was just, you had to see it to believe it. George Benson and I sitting on the floor in the garage, on the concrete. It was amazing. Well, if you've got this, put it on your turntable and listen, because later in there, you're going to hear Earl Klug, one of George's students on the guitar. As a guitarist, he is unparalleled. But you know what? George actually started out his career professionally as a singer when he was 6 years old on the streets of Pittsburgh, playing a ukulele, taught to him by his dad, who was a guitarist. I'm not sure his dad was a professional guitarist or not. But in fact, I think either his father or his stepfather made it for him, actually made the little ukulele. Well, by the time he was 8 years old, he was already playing in neighborhood bars for money. So his experience goes way, way back. And one of my favorite artists, and not because, just because he's a personal friend, and I know a true good person, right down to the soles of his shoes. And the list of great songs he's had, Breezin', Tenderly, This Masquerade, On Broadway, you know. Oh my gosh, listen to that little riff right there. Oh, how does he do it? Wow. I would just like to know how he does that. I'd like to just try it once or twice. But anyway, I love it. Hey gang, it is now 22 minutes before the hour. You are listening to the Power Hour with Mac Newton and Zach on the other side of the glass, and of course always the fabulous Natasha sitting in with us. Natasha, did you miss being with us last week?
Oh, of course.
It was not the same not having you. It just wasn't.
Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome. How did you like Natasha? Did you hear her leading in the commercials? Did you like that, guys? You know, she's got her own legion of fans out there. You know, people just love to hear her voice on the radio. But the only thing is, you know, she's working so hard. She wants to get rid of the accent. I just love that accent. It's perfect. I love it. So if you guys like it, get ready. You're going to hear more of it. The fabulous Natasha on the air. Wow. Welcome back, baby.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice to be back.
Okay. Where were we? Right before we left here, we had just finished with 14 on the 15 steps. We're getting ready to now finish up. Step number 15. Step number 15. Fall in love. Fall in love. That's the title of the last step. Quantum leaps. Moving from the old you to the new you won't happen if you're living with a lukewarm heart. I'm not sure where it is, but I've heard it several times from people who are paid to know. But supposedly it's a biblical passage where Jesus is supposed to have said, come to me hot or come to me cold, but don't come lukewarm. And that's what this is saying. Passion has to be part of the process. You have to be passionate about what you're doing. Don't try to move from the old you to the new you lukewarm. Passion, it fires the soul, fills your spirit. It energizes your body all at the same time. It energizes your mind so that you can make this quantum leap to a higher plane of performance. Passion also keeps you going when you're hit with problems, especially when you're hit with doubt and uncertainty. And you will be. Take my word for it. Passion gets you going. But passion itself has to be fueled. So what feeds the flame of passion? You know what? The visual images of your dreams, when you're able to keep the vision in your mind of what it is you're going after, just like you did when you were a kid. You know, when you were a kid, you'd sit in your room or you'd sit on the back porch and you'd visualize playing guitar in a band or producing a movie and being behind the camera or being an actress in front of the camera or maybe being an athlete and running across the grass and jumping up on the wall and snaring the ball right before it left the field. Whatever that vision was, those are the visions, the images that fuels your passion, that makes you passionate about it. It makes you intense. I call that emotional intensity. And it has to burn inside of you, hot enough to protect you from the chilling effects of doubt, uncertainty, criticism, and failure. That's what it is. This is what that intensity must protect you from. Number one, doubt, uncertainty, criticism, and failure. Let me tell you something that you'll be surprised to hear. One of my supposedly greatest successes is the work that I did with Bo Jackson in returning him to the playing field after receiving an artificial hip to play Major League Baseball. But do you know, right in the middle of that, one day, Bo was late for class. For some reason, it was unusual because Bo was never late, always very, very prompt. And I sat in my office, and the events of the previous 2 weeks had left me doubtful and so uncertain that I actually remember myself hoping that he wouldn't come in that day. That's true. I was hoping that maybe he'd given up and gone back home. I was that uncertain. That's when you have to have passion. That's when you have to have emotional intensity to protect you from the doubt, to protect you from the uncertainty, and especially from the criticism, especially criticism from people who have supported you in the past. When these people sort of turn on you, you have to have that passion and that personal belief that this was meant to be yours, that it was your destiny to have this, for it was your destiny to do this, that it was your calling, and you were chosen by God above to do this, and you and only you can get it done. Only deep desire, only deep passion can produce such heat. And so many times people have said, I don't know about that Newton guy. He's a little too intense for me. He's too intense. Have you ever heard him talk? I mean, he gets fired up, he gets intense, you know? It makes me nervous. Well, you know what? If it makes you nervous, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. Because I love to get fired up. I love to feel that intensity. I love to get excited. I love to feed my images because then it makes me feel young. You, on the other hand, if you feel that way, you're on the way to getting old, my friend. You better buy in before it gets too late. Better buy a ticket. Get on board. For you to care this intensely, of course, there must be something worth caring about, something remarkable, Something special, something precious, something that is precious enough to light the fires in your heart. I mean the kind of thing like a mom caring for her child, a mom who is willing to jump into a fire, a mom who is willing to run through a burning fire, to run through a door, dive through a window to save her child. Something that precious. That's what I'm talking about, to light the fire in your heart. That passionate. You need to fall in love with what you want. This is the 15th step, and maybe the most important step. You've got to know what you want, and you got to be passionate about it. You got to say, that's what I want, and you got to be able to shout it to the highest rooftop. Shout it from the highest rooftop. I want it. Most people are not willing to do that, Zach. They're not willing to do it, and I'll tell you why. Because they always want to hold on to a little possibility of failure. They want to hold on to a little possibility of not moving toward it. When you're that committed to it, and you're that intense about it, you go for it 100%. You don't hold anything back. In order to do this, you're going to have to loosen the limits on your thinking, gang. You can't go at this the way you've been thinking in the past. We've got to loosen the limits on our thinking. We've got to start thinking differently. You've got to give yourself permission to go after what you want. Now, this is something you can learn from Natasha. She knows how to go after what she wants. I think for most of us, without even knowing you, the climate is right now for a quantum leap, but only if you are passionate enough about the goal. You have to want it like nothing else in your life right now. So let your deepest desires direct your aim. Let your deepest desires, I mean, set your sights far above reasonable. Don't go after something that's reasonable. Don't go after something that's average. Don't go after something moderate. No, set your sights above that. Let the power of purpose. It's only profound when you have a desire that stirs your heart. Yeah. When you feel strong about something. This drive has got to be strong enough to carry you past the point of wishful thinking. It's got to carry you past positive thinking. It's got to carry you to positive knowing. It has to consume you, control you, drive you to action. Half-hearted efforts? No. You know. I'm not sure where this quote came from, but it's like this. Stop wearing your wishbone where your backbone ought to be. Stop wishing for stuff. We need some backbone, okay? We need a desire to push you into action. Quantum leaps, moving from the old you to the new you, is an act of love. You could live the rest of your life as the old you. Most people do. Only 3% are going to move from the old you to the new you. It's an act of love. It's a passionate statement about how much you care about life, how much you care about you, how much you care about those close to you, how much you care about what you seek. And only an emotional move has the power to carry you that distance from the old you to the new you. Can you feel me? Can you feel what I'm saying now? You got to fall in love with it. You got to fall in love. I usually say, let your mind lead your body. I'm going to change it a little bit right now. I'm going to say, let your heart lead your body. Let your heart take charge of your body. If you have a magnificent obsession, now you are poised for the quantum leap. Now you are ready to make the leap from the old you to the new you. One of the things we've been doing differently here on the Power Hour online, Zach, is that we've been pretty much staying on track with the things that we've been talking about. Sometimes in the past, we would love talking about the music, but sometimes do too much of it and lose track. And sometimes we'd also talk about too many different types of things. Sometimes you might remember in the past, we talk about the 3-2 and this and that and the other, and we would lose the content. Not that the 3-2 is not a worthwhile subject for conversation, and we will talk about it here on the Power Hour, but we won't talk about it every show. People are telling me by sending me emails. And by the way, if you want to send me an email, send it to seven@macnewton.com. I don't mind if I forget to give it out sometimes, because they're going to go to my website and it's right there, seven@macnewton.com. I'm not saying I'm going to answer every one of them, but I'm going to read them. I got one as we were getting ready to do the show today. Came right in. So people are telling me that this is what they want to hear. They want more of this. They want more of this content. They want to be inspired. And that is, like The Rock says on my counter over there, inspire. That is my mission statement, inspire achievement. Not some long, wordy, flowery, beautiful thing that no one knows what it is. I'm not saying those are bad. I'm just saying mine is inspire achievement. Inspire achievement. Inspire achievement. At the same time, be inspired by those who are achieving. Be inspired by those who are achieving. Leftover from last week, we only missed out on one, the 10 steps to permanent change. If the Dirty Dozen seemed to apply to you, I mean, where are you? Experience feelings of jealousy, or you try to make other people feel jealous. You involve yourself in negative conversation, negative talk, especially to and about yourself. You have an inability to give compliments. And as an offshoot of that, an inability to accept them. Number five was not taking your own needs into account. And in liking to brag about that. Number six, not asking for what we want, but yet and still expecting to get it. Number seven, an unwillingness to give affection. And number eight, an inability to receive it. Number nine, criticism, destructive self-criticism, and as a result, destructive criticism of others. Number 10, always comparing ourselves with others. And number 11, experiencing guilt. And of course, number 12, with constant poor health. Three of these, you need to put attention to your self-esteem. You need to say, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. You need to say it 100 times a day. I like myself, I like myself. No, I like myself. I really like myself. 4 to 8. It has to become a major definite goal in your life to improve your self-image, to improve how you see yourself as a valuable, contributing person. 8 or above, it has to become your number one overarching major definite purpose in life to reconfigure your self-esteem, to improve how much you like yourself. You need to build a positive self-concept. Now, the best way to do that, the best way to get started, and we went through all 10 of these last week, the best way to get started is to give compliments. It's the easiest thing to do. Ladies, if you want to give a compliment to a guy, if he's wearing a suit, look at his tie. Compliment the tie. Compliment the tie. Guys, if you want to compliment a woman, compliment her hair. Women are very, very conscious of what their hair looks like. Even when they're relaxed, they're always aware of it. If they're dressed up, guys, I'm going to tell you, purses and shoes. You mention a woman's purse, you are on the fast track. I'm telling you right now, that purse is awesome. And those shoes, my goodness. Natasha, am I close on this? Am I just shooting in the dark?
Yes, you're just...
Am I right on?
Absolutely. Accurate, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I believe. See, because a guy may not have very many pairs of shoes. You know, maybe a brown pair of leather ones, a black pair of leather ones, maybe a couple pair of gym shoes, you know, some sandals, possibly, you know, and a unique pair of slip-ons or something, but not that many. Women, they'll have a closet full. And they wear and they know all of them, and they love to be complimented. Am I on track here?
Oh, my God.
Gentlemen, if you want to, and by the way, Valentine's Day is in 2 days, gentlemen. Valentine's Day, and I'm telling you, chocolate truffles, okay? Chocolate truffles. And don't stay away from the one dozen roses. Give two. Step out of the ordinary. The Mac Daddy told you, luckily you have me looking out for you. Chocolate truffles. Don't tell me they cost $3 a piece. It doesn't matter. She's worth it. Give her a dozen of them. Have it wrapped up fancy, you know? And remember, women love sparkly things, just so you know. Okay. The purse. Compliment the purse. Compliment the purse. And compliment the shoes. The shoes. Guys don't care about their shoes. Women love their shoes. Purses and shoes. They love it. You know what? Another thing. When you want to compliment a guy, you really want to knock him off track, you know what? Say something nice about his car. Guys love their cars. They do. They love their cars. They love their cars. If they had to, they'd live in them. Some guys would prefer to. Give compliments. It'll make you feel good. A perfect example. Let's say you're in a store. You're going into the store. You notice someone's coming in behind you. They got a handful of stuff. Or maybe it's an older person, or they're carrying pushing a stroller, and you hold the door for them, and they look you right in the eye, and they say, "Thank you." How do you feel? You feel great. Puts a little spring in your step for the next few steps. But suppose they didn't say anything. They looked away like you were invisible. Boy, that doesn't feel good. So you want to make yourself feel good? Give compliments. Give compliments. Give compliments. And you know what? Accept them. And here's the best way to do it. Say, "Thank you. Glad you feel that way. I'm glad you feel that way." Just say thank you. I don't care what it is they're saying. Whatever they say about you. And please, never, ever ignore it. Never blow it off. Never say, "Oh, this old thing, that's nothing." I mean, it's like you're telling them what they said was nothing. When you do that, you'll be working on yourself. Yeah, you'll be working on yourself. This is the way we heal. You've got to build your self-esteem. I mean, can you imagine feeling the way I did when I threw that trophy inside of the garbage can? I had to walk upstairs with myself. That was a terrible feeling. I remember it like it was yesterday. That was the old me. I don't live life like that anymore. Okay, now, gang, what we're going to do for next week, I like to leave you wanting just a little bit. What we're going to do next week is review all 10 steps to permanent change. Let me make a note on that right now, okay? We're going to review all 10 steps to permanent change, okay? 10 steps to permanent change, and we're also going to put a star beside learn to have pleasure without guilt. People want to know what that means. What does that mean? How can I have pleasure without guilt? Okay, so we're going to review that. Now we're going to start our brand new segment on goal setting. So make sure you have your pad and paper along with you. You want to write, take notes as we're talking about this. I know it's all going to be archived on the website, but taking notes is a very important part of the learning process. Okay? Hey, gang, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Do the Mac Daddy a favor. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the show. We are, I don't know exactly, I guess I could get my IT guy to count up the number of people who are, thanks, guys. Thanks, Zach, who are actually, you know, listening to the Power Hour. But, and we're growing. I can tell by the number of emails we get. So tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about us. And you know what? Try the things we talk about. Actually start giving compliments today. Start accepting compliments today. That will be setting a deadline on when you're going to get it done. As usual, every single week, I always say thanks to Bob Adlock. I always say thanks to Pat McMahon because he got me started in the radio business. And of course, John Cannon, who was our first guest co-host on Cox 9 with the Power Hour. Always. I also want to give a shout out and thanks to Eric too, you know, because Eric really helped us get us started right here as our first engineer. And Eric, if you're listening, thanks a bunch. We really appreciated your efforts. Zach, on the other side of the glass, always a pleasure to have you back, my man. You make the heart feel good.
Likewise.
And of course, the fabulous Natasha with all those shoes and all those fabulous purses. Good to have you back in that chair, baby. It's yours. Okay, gang, my name is Mac Newton, and we will be back with you again next Thursday at the same time, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock here at MacNewton.com. How much time we got over there, guys? We are got about 30 seconds left. Oh, boy, there's a cloud outside, but only one. Hope it's nice where you are. Remember, be true to yourselves, which means to make sure your words and behaviors match. Send your emails to 7 at MacNewton.com, and we will see you guys next week. Hey, they call me the Mac Daddy. But you guys can call me Mac. Anything but late for a meal. Anyway, 3, 2, 1. On behalf of George Benson and all of our staff, peace. We are out.
Like you, she feels all the weight you're under. And when she breaks, is it ever?